All right. Familiar portions of Scripture read this morning. And related to that, I remember just in being in Sunday school when I was a kid, and we'd sing this song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine." How many remember that song somewhere in your past? But did we know what it meant? I have to confess, I'm not sure I knew what that meant. I'm not sure I ever thought it through. Even into being an adolescent and becoming older, what does it mean that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? And the question that comes to my mind, and I want to answer this morning, what is that light, and how do we let it shine? What is that light, and how do we let it shine? Last weekend, we had a conference here, Anchor Ministerial Fellowship. We had 130 ministers here in that conference. And our theme of the conference was spreading the light. Spreading the light. And so I had the opportunity to give the lead-off message of that conference. And I'm going to share the message this morning that I shared with those ministers. Now, if ministers, seasoned ministers, need to know what is the light and how do we let it shine, I feel we need to know today what is the light and how do we let it shine. I am convinced that it's a lack of clarity in our mind of how we let our light shine and what the light is that restricts us from seeing the results that we want to see. The portion that Kay read at the end, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So I'm praying that the beginning of this 52nd year, that we can re-clarify what is the light and how do we let it shine. Let me just say quickly, I'll just insert this real quickly. It's been a great 51 years. Last year, we celebrated 50, and of course, it was a big celebration. But since this time, and as particularly in the last few months, the elders and leadership of the church have been really looking at what this church will look like, the form of it, and our emphasis going forward. So we look forward in the next number of months of casting that renewed vision. It's not a different vision, but a renewed vision, maybe with a little different and refined strategy going forward. So I'm excited about the next number of years that's before us. I'm excited about the team that has come together on our staff, and lots of good things looking towards our future. We can never coast. I always share with other pastors, you can never coast. You can never think as a church, well, we're just going to maintain what we have. With that attitude, you will never go forward, you will go back. There's always has to be an ongoing vision. This is where we're going. This is what we're stretching for. This is what we're believing for. This is the excitement that comes into our hearts when we see where we're going. And I pray that these next number of months, we'll be able to cast that vision, vision to you as a church. All right, let's come back to this. And I hope that you picked up a sheet coming in. You have two sheets. The larger sheet, I would just ask you to ignore right now. Don't get looking at that. I want you to pay attention to me. But look at your fill-in sheet, and we're going to work our way through this. The question is, what is the light, and how do we let it shine? Well, here's the answer to the first one. Jesus' life is the light of the world. Jesus' life is the light of the world. it tells us in him, Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines into darkness. I want you to know the light we're shining is not an ideology. It's not a doctrine. It's not a statement of faith. It's not practices that we want other people to observe. It encompasses those things. We have a statement of faith. We do have doctrines. But that is not the light. And when you go to share with other people, and they perceive what you're sharing with them is a religion, they're not too excited about a religion. And yet many times we do that. We present it as, here's our doctrines, here's what you need to believe. And all of that is part of it. Don't misunderstand me, but it's not the light. The light is the life of Christ. That is what we are to shine forth through our light, the life of Christ. In him was life, the light was the light of man, and the light shines into the darkness. Let me just add this quickly. If it were all those things, they had that in the Old Testament. They had meetings, they had events, they had feasts, they had activities, they gathered people together. But that wasn't what God was after. We find in Isaiah chapter 1 that the Lord speaks and says, I'm really pretty sick and tired of all your gatherings. You can read it in Isaiah chapter 1. He says, your feast and your prayers and your uplifted hands. He said, you know, I'm paraphrasing it. The Lord said, I just had enough of that. Because he looked through all that, and he said this, but your hearts are far from me. They were doing outward things, but they didn't have the heart of the matter. Life is in the heart. Life is the essence of who you are. They didn't have it. So the Lord said, I'm not interested in that. So Jesus came as the Word, was with God and was God, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And for a period of time, Jesus was God in flesh on the earth, and this life that was in him, not what he taught great things, I mean, revolutionary things, but that wasn't, it was the life. Now, when you ask people about Jesus today, Christian, non-Christian, right across the board, people have a good perception of Jesus. Was it because of what he taught? Well, a lot of people reject what he taught. No, I don't believe that. He said he was the Son of God. I don't believe that. But what did they observe? His life. How he treated people. How he responded in situations. How he interacted. Everyone in the world today, basically, I mean, I'm sure there may be some that don't, but I mean, I haven't come across them and say, I don't like Jesus. They all say, what a good man, what a good teacher. They may not believe he's God, but they'll say, what a great teacher. If we could all live like Jesus lived, it would be a better world. Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here's the next point. The light of the world, now let's get back down to it. The light of the world is love made visible. The light of the world is love made visible. Said, you know, it said in Jesus, you know, the Word became flesh to Adam, and we beheld his glory. They beheld something. They saw something. They saw something in Jesus. And so what did they see in Jesus? First of all, love made visible. 1 John 2 and verse 9. Well, let me just read Ephesians 5:13 first. It's in your notes. It is light that makes visible. It's light that makes visible. So you could have life, but if there's no light or expression of it, it's not made visible. Light is this love made visible. The light makes visible. He was the light of the world. He made the life, the character of God visible. If you wanted to know what God was like, look at Jesus. He was the manifestation of God's life on earth. And he was the light because he made it visible. Became obvious to people. 1 John 2 and verse 9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. So again, they're defining what this light is and what this life is. He says, if you hate your brother, it doesn't matter what you proclaim and you say you are, you're in darkness. Because the light is that you're going to love your brother. And he who loves his brother, he's showing the light. Now, folks, this is so simple, this message this morning. It's so simple that we overlook it and we don't emphasize it enough. But it's very, very profound. The things of God are simple, but they're very, very profound. And if you miss the essence of the simplicity, you're not having any depth in your spiritual life. You can say a lot of things, call yourself a lot of things, but it never really is expressed. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. I mean, this is so simple. He's saying if you say you have life, you will express it in loving other people. The sign you know you pass from death to life is if you love people. Isn't that what Jesus said? By this you'll know, all men will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. How many times are we in church? We call ourselves Christians and we sing about it, but we're holding this grudge against someone. Oh, maybe we've sort of camouflaged it. That's not obvious, but you know, I don't like that person. I try to avoid that person. I don't like being around that person. Oh, they signed up for that. I'm not going to sign up for that. I'll sign up for something different. And there's this disconnect that we say we're Christians and we're light, and everything about us is saying there's darkness in us. We're judging other people. We're criticizing other people. We're gauging their spiritual walk, and we don't like how they treat us. So if they don't treat me right, well, I won't treat them right, which is the way of the world. But the way of Jesus, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us when we were not worthy. He made a way for us to come into his presence by sacrificial love of laying down his life on the cross. And isn't that what 1 John 3:16 says? Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. So we see it. We perceive it. This is how it's made visible. He laid down his life for us on the cross. And we ought to follow in that by laying down our lives for other people who do not merit it, who have not earned it, who rub us the wrong way, who we feel are wrong and need to be corrected. People do need to be corrected, and there's means in the scripture for all that to happen. But if that is your motivation of exposing people rather than restoring people, caring more about them than you care about yourself, every act you do towards someone else is for their benefit, to come to know Jesus better, to be awakened to spiritual truths, for me to be a light to them. This is how Christians act. But we fall into this death syndrome where we're living in darkness, proclaiming love. Folks, we sing about love, we clap about love, we pray about love, and maybe we just don't see that's the light we're to show. This is how we make it manifest. You're on this earth to make that manifest. Now let's carry on with these verses. 1 John 3:16. I already quoted this, but let's do it again. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods sees his brother in need, shuts up his heart from him. How does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just sing about it, pray about it, talk about it, preach about it. Let there be a visible manifestation of it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's what it is. The light is the life of Christ. The life of Christ is his sacrificial love for us made visible. He goes on to say in another place, you know, someone comes into the church, they poor, they don't have very much, and it talks about you put your arm around them and you say, you know, we're going to pray for you and that need, and let me pray for your need. And, you know, you encourage them. You say you need to trust God for this. But if it has it in your means to meet that need, how does the love of Christ dwell in you if you know the concepts, but you're not manifesting it? Another scripture in Romans says that the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting for men and women to manifest his love. Wow, would that not change the world? What if the world didn't, when they think about a Christian, they don't immediately think of, well, all the things they're against and all the things they protest, and how judgmental they are, and how hypocritical they are. And they just had this image and a thought of, man, they are the nicest people. They care for me. I can't believe what they did. I can't believe how they sacrificed themselves for that. They hardly know me, and look what they did for me. That's the light we're to shine. That's what will change a heart. Arguments, condemnation will not change someone's heart. It's light that makes manifest. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He didn't condemn them. They felt comfortable in his presence, but he was the most holy person that ever lived. He never condoned sin, but he didn't condemn people. He forgave people. He loved sinners. And as a result, they were drawn to him. He tells Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house. And he's a tax collector that's extorting the people for extra money. And they don't like Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house. But after he has a lunch with him, Zacchaeus comes out and says, you know what? If I've taken anything from anyone, I'm going to restore it fourfold. And then he goes on even further. And I'm going to sell, and half of what I have, I'm going to sell and give to the poor. That was just a dinner with Jesus, the light of the world. Oh man, this light is in you. But are we hiding under a bushel? No, the song says. Hide it under a bushel? No. What's the bushel? The bushel is our self and our flesh and our own feelings and what I need. And see, you'll never be able to love people until your need for love and acceptance is satisfied by Jesus. And I think that's why, as we're immature Christians, we have believed in Christ. But you know what? We're still striving. I want someone to recognize what I've done, and I don't want to be slighted, and I don't want to be neglected, and I feel it every time someone does. But you know what? When your worth is in Jesus and your acceptance is in Jesus, well, then you can show love to other people. That's why we cannot do this without the life of Christ in us. He doesn't tell us, you go out and try to be a light. No, the life in us is the light. We need to let our lives be more transparent and less needy, knowing that our needs are satisfied by our relationship with Christ. That's why Jesus said, knowing that he came from the Father and he's going to return to the Father, he took out his other outer garments, he took a towel and he washed the disciples' feet. How could he wash the disciples' feet? Because he knew he came from the Father and he knew he was returning to the Father. When you know who you are and what you're all about, yeah, I shouldn't have to wash people's feet. It's someone else's job. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? This is such a simple message, but I realize how quickly I get moved off of this. We just need to come more back onto target and focused on this. I put this in your notes. To be observable, Christ's love must be perceived by the five senses. It's not enough to talk about it, philosophize about it, pray about it. Light makes manifest. It's seen. The love of God needs to be seen and observable in your life. And for that to happen, we're in this world and we have sight, ear, smell, taste, touch, five senses. The love of God has to be perceived by that. They have to see what you've done. They need to hear what you say. They need to taste what you have made for them. The feeling they get around you is one of warmth and acceptance because that's the feeling you're expressing towards them. Without it being perceived by the five senses, it's just in the air. In other words, what would a video camera record when you're showing love to people? You got to think about it in that light. Doesn't matter if I say, Lord, let me have more love for that person. Lord, meet their needs. Let me be more loving. No, no, no. What does a video camera record in your interaction with them? It's almost like a police officer. You need to have a video camera on your chest as you're about your duties as a child of God. That camera's recording wherever you go, whatever you say, play it back at the end of the day. Were you light or were you darkness? Did the light come through or was it covered by the basket of your life? under a bushel. This is just always ask yourself, what would a video camera record of how my interaction with a person? Did it manifest love? Or didn't it? Here's the next point. The light shining through us is dependent on our proximity. Oh man, this is, I never knew this until I was preparing for this message last week for Anchor. I mean, I guess I knew it, but I never really thought about it. It was going through our Bible in a year. I'm listening to these scriptures from John. And this is what it says in John 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. How long is he the light of the world? As long as he's in the world. Another version says, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. See, I always thought, well, Jesus is always the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But Jesus limits it and says, while I'm on the earth, I'm the light of the world. While I'm here in this physical body going about and people can perceive my love with their five senses, how I talk, how I act, I'm the light of the world while I'm in the world. Implying if he's not in the world, he's not the light of the world. Now, obviously, in his whole nature, he's the light of the world. But he's not truly the light of the world because no one is video camering, videoing him. He's not making the life manifest. The light is making the life manifest, making it observable. Well, Jesus was on the earth. He was the light of the world. Listen to what it goes on to say. John 12:35. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. A little while longer. Not forever. A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light. He's telling his disciples, observe, see. You're my disciples. The things I've done, you are to do. Observe me. You have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. Folks, darkness will overtake you, and all you have to do is just turn the light out. We've got to constantly realize, I'm the light of the world, and let's get to this. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Now today, Jesus, understand me, today Jesus is not the light of the world, as far as tangibly being here in a physical body. But we are the light of the world. We are the body of Christ. We are the physical manifestation of God's presence. We are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. I mean, not just individual lights, but if all of us collectively begin to shine our lights, now we're a city on a hill, and it can't be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is our job. This is our task. Well, you say, well, don't we share the gospel? Yes, because it says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. When people begin to see you and how you act and how you respond to them, really, if you show the life of Christ, they're going to be blown away. And they're not going to understand it. And they're going to say, what makes you different? Now, this is where we reference the name of Jesus. You know what? I'm really not that good a person. But you know what? God's changing me. I'm a Christian. He's put his spirit in me. He's given me new thoughts and new ideas and new motivation. And I can't take credit for what I did for you. All I can say, Jesus is changing me. And you know what? He can do the same for you. Well, how? Well, you know what Jesus did on the cross to cover it? Then we can go into all kinds of other things. But it starts by shedding the light. Outward expressions to people will not get their attention unless there's the light of Christ's love being observed through us. So, individually, who are you close to? I said the light of the world is dependent on our proximity. If I'm here, I'm not touching the person in Tim Hortons down the street. Or if I'm at Swiss Chalet, I can be a light there, but I can't be at the keg because I'm not there. Where I am is where I'm to shine the light. Jesus said, I'm in the world and I'm the light till I leave, basically. And now you're the light of the world. That's why we're sprinkled like salt and light all over the world. We're God's people. We're lights. We're salt and light in this world. And we're to manifest the life of Christ wherever you are. So when you move into a situation, be aware in a meeting, in some kind of activity or interaction, you are the light of the world in that moment because you're there. They're going to see with their five senses what Christ is like because you're there in that situation. I don't know. That just brings an awareness to me that I never had when I just thought, well, Jesus is the light of the world. No, I'm the light of the world. I'm manifesting his life. And I need to let it shine. I let it shine by making it observable, visible. The love of God has to touch people through you. You know, the old Star Wars movies, the lightsabers. You pull it out. That does nothing until the saber touches somebody. Then the power is released and it has an effect. I think what we do many times is sort of brandish the love of God. We talk about it. We wave it around. We're Christians. We love one another. We sing songs. And the Lord's listening to us and watching. And all he hears is, whoa, 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 whoa. And we've touched nobody. It's never touched a life. We need to be the light of the world, the lightsabers of the world, touching people, stinging them, catching their attention. What was that? I've never felt that before. No one's ever treated me that way before. I don't understand this, how that person can be like this. That's being a light of the world. I put this, and I think this is in your notes. If Jesus took your place for a year in your workplace, I put this together. It's not the best way, but it's some of my thoughts. Okay, if you're going to be a light in your workplace, how would you be a light in your workplace? Let's consider some things that the Lord might do if he was in your workplace today. He would do his work with excellence. He would be known around the office for the great work he did. He would consider the boss as his authority in his workplace and would honor and respect him or her. He would always have a motive to help others become successful, even at his own expense. He would work to make others successful by sincere praise and encouragement. He would advance others by giving credit to them where it was due. He would take a personal interest in each workmate and help meet their concerns and their needs. He would value unbelievers by getting to know them and developing a relationship with them. He would vocally deflect praise and appreciation to God when praised himself. This is the witness of Christ. When they see you show love and you deflect it to Jesus. Every compliment needs to be an alert goes off in your mind. Someone praises you for whatever. You need to say, I'm really glad that you appreciated that. But you know what? I'm not that good a person. But you know, Jesus is helping me to be a better person. He's in my life. I'm a Christian. He's changing me. He's making me more caring about other people. If you say that sincerely, without any kind of edge or just being yourself, recognizing people receive that. They may not be open for you to invite them to some activity, but they're open for you to give them a ride home when their car won't start. We're lights in this world. And this, he would be truthful in all his dealings and never exaggerate for the sake of advancement. He would always be ready to share Christ as the reason for his success, generosity, and caring attitude. All I'm trying to do is give you a framework to say, this is how you are the light of the world. Wherever you are. And that was when Jesus said the greatest commandments, to love your neighbor and love God, love your neighbor. And they said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gave the example of the Good Samaritan, who was despised, not accepted as a true Israelite. But this man's broken and bleeding on the side of the road. The priest walks by him, leaves him. Might have even said, Lord, bless him. I don't have time right now, but meet his need, kept going. That's how we are many times. Priest walks by him, the Levite walks by him, but the Good Samaritan. Listen, he didn't define the object of his love. He discovered it as he went through his journey. It's not that we sit back, who will I love today? No, who are you next to right now that has a need, and how can I meet that need? And he put the man, he took the oil and the wine, he bound up his wounds, took him to the inn, said, take care of him. Hey, keep the tab, I'll come back, I'll pay you whatever he needs. This is the attitude of love made visible. This is how you love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm praying that God will help us this morning to understand these truths. Now, there's another part of this message I won't go into right now, but maybe next week or next time I share, we'll go into the larger sheet that sort of shows how we collectively can have an impact in the world. So try to hold on to that sheet, and we'll talk about that another time. But this is how, like, I'm talking about individually how you can have an impact. But that sheet shows how collectively we can have an impact in this world way beyond what you could imagine. And we'll talk about that another time. Will you stand with me right now? Folks, I almost feel like I need to repent after this message to realize, man, I've come so short of this in so many ways. I'm too focused on myself and how I think other people treat me and speak to me. And I get sidetracked from this so easily. I can get buried in my own hurt. And see, this love can be shown to the closest people to you, to your spouse, to your children, to your family, to the people that are closest to you. Let's show sacrificial love as Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for others. Amen. Ready to be a light of the world? Light in your environment? Light to the people you're next to? You'll need the power of the Holy Spirit because you can't do this without his life. The life is the light of the world, not your effort is the light of the world. So, Lord, help us. Maybe just pray right after me. Maybe we just collectively can pray. So just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to be a light. I want to show your life to people around me. I confess I am inadequate. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your life. Motivate me from the inside. Fill me with your love. Help me to show other people your love for them. Help me to do it in practical ways. Empower me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.